Let us stand together now and receive the call to worship our Lord. That call to worship comes from Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Grace and peace be unto you in the name of God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear now scripture reading from Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start with verse 26 from Romans chapter 8, page 944. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. Those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us now hear from God's Word, reading His law as put forth in Galatians chapter 5. I will begin with verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Our scripture reading comes from Psalm 46. We are taking a break this morning from continuing through Romans. We'll have a sermon this morning using Psalm 46 as one of our texts. That's on page 471 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 46. Hear now the word of our Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, this is your holy word, given to us for comfort, given to us to teach us and train us in righteousness, O Lord. We ask that you would hide this word in our hearts, apply it to our lives, water it with your grace that it would grow and bear fruit, and be with the proclamation of your word this morning as well, that it might glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A lot has gone on in the last week. We live in times that most of us has probably never seen. With the virus raging around the world, things shutting down, there are times like these that remind us of a simple fact, that we are not in control. And these hard times present us with many possibilities, even the possibility of death. I can't think of anything like this in my lifetime. Maybe this is how many people felt during the Dust Bowls in the 30s, waiting on it to rain, hoping it would rain the next day, depending on everything for rain, and the rain not coming. But despite that this is new for us, it's not new. There's nothing new under the sun. The world has had viruses and pandemics before, from the bubonic plague to the Spanish flu. It might be new to us, but it's helpful to remember that it's not new under the sun. And that in time like these, we are directed to look to the Word of God, to find that very present help in trouble. And so we turn to Psalm 46 to be reminded that God is our refuge and our strength, our fortress, that He is our very present help in trouble. That when we are in trouble, God is still present. And He's there to help. We are to flee to God, to seek our safety in Him. That's what the idea of a refuge is. A place that you run to in a time of trouble for protection, for safety. For in Him we can have true safety. Note verse 2 and 3 here, that we can have that refuge so that we don't have to fear even if the earth gives way, and the mountains are moved, and the waters roar, and all tremble. Even if the earth itself is melting away, God is our very present help. He is our refuge. Which is how God is described in verse 1, and verse 7, and verse 11. The psalmist is letting us know that there will come things in our life that will cause trouble, and we will need to seek refuge from those things, and that God is the one who should be that refuge, to be our very present help in trouble. So in troubled times like this one, we should go to Him. He should be our first reaction. We should hit our knees and turn to Him. And we are to consider who He is, His nature, what He has done, His works, and to take comfort in that God is the one who cannot be moved. So that we, the people of God, the one who is the holy habitation, God is in the midst of her, He's in the midst of His people. She shall not be moved because God can't be moved. Our strength and our safety depends not upon our own strength, not upon our own powers, but upon God. He's the very present help. And look at verse 8. Come behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. This is Psalm 36, where we're talking about God being the very present help in trouble, being the strength and the refuge. Yet here we get verse 8 that says, come, look at the devastation that God has caused. Look at the desolations He has brought about. It seems a little out of place when we're looking for comfort and we're looking for refuge for the psalmist to say, come, look at the desolation that the Lord has brought about. Why would the psalmist use this picture? Especially when he's clearly emphasizing that the God of Jacob is our fortress, our refuge. Why would he show us that the God of Jacob also causes desolations? Because he does want us to see. And part of our comfort should come from the fact that it is the Lord God who causes even the very present trouble that we're in. That all things are under His control, the good and the bad. As Job says, when he goes through his trials and through his sufferings, he knows it all comes from God. He says, we've received good from the hand of the Lord. Shall we not also receive this evil? Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's God who controls all things. He makes the rain fall and the sun shine on the just and the unjust. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it well he wills. Proverbs 21:1. The lot is cast into the lap, but its decision is from the Lord. Proverbs 16:33. If there's a disaster in the city, is it not the Lord who's caused it? Amos 3:6. All things come from Him. In fact, it's providential that we confess this morning, Belgian Confession, Article 12. That reminds us that He created all things and controls all things. And that by His providential hands He upholds all things. That fits with our Heidelberg Catechism. That even borrows some of the language in question 27 and 28. What do you understand by the providence of God? The answer is the almighty, everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by His hand, He still upholds heaven and earth with all creatures, and so governs them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed all things come not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. What does it profit us to know that God created and by His providence upholds all things? That we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for what is future have good confidence in our faithful God and Father. That no creature shall separate us from His love, since all creatures are so in His hand, that without His will they cannot so much as move. This is the God in whom we believe. This is the God who is our refuge and our strength. He's the one who controls all things. And it doesn't come by chance. Nothing comes by chance. It all comes from His fatherly hand. Not just His divine hand, but the fatherly hand. The hand of His love. And it says that all creatures are this way. All creatures can't so much as move without His will, including even creatures as small as a virus. All within His control. All within His power. This call in verse 8 of Psalm 64 is to remind us of who God is and of His great strength and His great providence, that He is the one who causes all things, so that we will then pause and remember who it is that we serve, that we will then be still and know that He is God. That not only is our refuge from the trouble, that all the trouble is still a part of His plan. And that we should flee to Him, knowing that He is the God who rules over all things and that He is exalted. Flee to Him as your refuge and your very present help in trouble. Because He is the one who is in the midst. He is very present. So let me read also from Philippians chapter 4. I'll start with verse 4 and read through verse 7. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We've read in Psalm 46 about how He is our refuge and our strength, about He's our very present help in trouble. And I believe that Paul is building on very similar themes here in Philippians 4. He uses the phrase, rather than "very present help," is that the Lord is at hand. This is key to the entire section that we just read in Philippians. The Lord is at hand. You can't rejoice in all things if you don't know that the Lord is at hand. The Lord, who is our refuge and our strength and our very present help in trouble, is at hand. And I think that Paul means at hand here both as being He's at close by. I could reach out and grab His hand, as it were. And that He's at hand and that He's working amongst us. God is working even though we may not see it. But He is. And God is near. When we come to times where we are in great trouble or distress, or we become overcome with fear, the first thing that we forget is God's presence. Which is why Paul encourages us here, the Lord is at hand. We might think that God can't help us, or maybe He can't hear our prayers, or maybe that we've just been forgotten about completely. Or we get so overwhelmed looking at certain things that we forget to raise our eyes and look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And forget to remember that He is at hand. He's at hand. The one who is our help and our strength is right here. Therefore, I can avoid being worried. Because He tells us, don't be anxious. And this is one of those places where breaking the Bible into verses sometimes hurts us. Because people look up Ephesians 4:6 and it says, don't be anxious about anything. And they've forgotten the reason not to be anxious about anything is in the previous verse, because the Lord is at hand. It's only possible not to be anxious because we know the truth that the Lord is at hand. We have the indicative of the gospel, the statement of fact. The Lord is at hand. And then comes the imperative. Then don't be anxious. We can't just give out the imperatives and forget about the gospel truth that the Lord is there. If we separate those two things, then we're in trouble. but because we know that the one who is our strength and the one who is our refuge, the one who is our very present help in trouble is at hand, then we can avoid fear and anxiety. And thus we can then see the cure for our fears and anxieties is to take prayers and supplications to Him. Note here in Philippians 4 that don't be anxious about anything doesn't mean just stop fearing. It says, no, rather, take your things to God. Take your prayers, take your requests, take your fears to the Lord and speak to God about them. For God is at hand and He hears your prayers. He is there and He is listening. We may not see Him, nor may we hear Him, but He hears us and we can be assured He hears our prayers. The Lord is at hand. We are often fearful. We do often have anxiety. But know that God is at hand to hear your prayers, for you to take those things to Him, to make your supplications, your requests be made known to Him. And then you can have peace. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. This is a peace that doesn't come from wrapping our minds around it and saying, I've got control, I understand all this, I now know what I need to do, step one, step two, step three. Because there are often times in a world like this where we don't know all that we need to know. And there are things that look cloudy and murky and we don't understand. The key to having peace is not trying to say I can figure it all out with my mental capacity, but saying I can trust God, that He's in control of it all. Then I can have the peace that passes understanding. And that peace will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus with the truth that Jesus Christ is in control. With truths like what we find in Romans 8:28 that we read earlier. Romans 8:28, that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. This is one of those promises that can guard our hearts and our minds. All things work together for our good. The Lord is at hand and the Lord is at work. And He is working for the good of those that love Him. For all things, including sickness and health. It's all a part of His providence. It doesn't happen willy-nilly. It happens because God willed it. And we can know that even all of this that feels so out of control and feels so scary is ultimately for our good because God has told us so. Even if someone gets ill, we can know that it was God's will and it is for the good of those who love Him. He tells us right here, it's for our good. All things work together for good. We often want to be the one who defines what is good. We want to be the ones who say, this is what good is for me. I'll take an extra dose of health and a promotion at work, and that'll be good. I'll take the ease and comfort. That's what is good. But God, the all-wise, knows what's best. God, the all-good, is the one who defines what is good, not us. And what He gives us is for our good. The Lord, who is our very present help in trouble, is bringing about all of these things for the good of those who love Him. And as we read, knowing this control of the Lord, that all things work together for good, and that those whom He foreknew He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that this leads us to say, then what can separate us from God's love? What can separate us from Christ's love? That all of this working and all of these things working together came from His fatherly hand, came from His loving hand, came from the love of Jesus Christ. Who shall separate us from that love? What can separate us from that love? Look at the list again in verses 31 through 39 of Romans 8. Tribulation cannot separate us from our loving Lord, who is our strength. Life cannot take us from the refuge that is God. Death cannot take us away from the Lord and His love, who is always at hand, even in the valley of the shadow of death. No powers or principalities can rip us out of the hand of the One who is our very present help in trouble. It doesn't matter if it's a virus, a war, a famine. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, who directs all things for good and is at hand listening to our cries and our prayers. Therefore, we can face even times like this with a heart that rests in His strength without fear and knowing that Jesus Christ, He is God. So I want to leave you with hopefully a few practical suggestions during these times. First, don't think that the providence of God and understanding that He controls all things, don't mistake that to be a call to be reckless or arrogant. Don't mistake the providence of God for us to be able to go out and say, well, I'll simply do whatever I want without a care and God will do what He wants and all will be well. That's not the right response. It should be a call to humility and to remind ourselves we must not tempt God. As Satan tried to tempt Jesus, well, didn't he say you weren't going to touch your stone? Throw yourself off then. Jump off the top of the temple. Jesus reminds us we shouldn't tempt God. Rather, we can take care and take precautions, and not simply to protect ourselves, but to show love to our neighbor and to look out for his well-being. Someone did send me this quote from Martin Luther that I think applies very well here, as Luther was ministering through a plague that hit in the 1520s. When he was giving advice to people of how to live during a time of the plague, he says, very well, by God's decree, the enemy has sent us poison and deadly offal. Therefore, I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate and help purify the air, administer medicine and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance infect and pollute others and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, He will surely find me, and I have done what He has expected of me, and so I am not responsible either for my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go so freely. Luther encouraging his congregation to trust, to follow the Lord, to take precautions, but not to forget one's neighbor. Let me also encourage you to be patient with others. Sadly, we live in a very polarized and politicized world where it almost doesn't matter what we see our neighbors doing. People take the opposite side and attack. When we see our neighbors trying to deal with this virus as best they can, let us not mock them if they disagree with us. That ought not be the response of us as Christians. Instead, let us ask, how can I help my neighbor? How can I show my love to my neighbor? Let us remember that this can be an amazing time of opportunity to minister the gospel to those who might be in fear or in need. That we have been given the Word of God and given great comfort. And that there might be those who are now understanding that worldly comforts do not work. That they might be looking for the only comfort in life and in death. And they might wonder why you have such comfort and be able to tell them that we trust with body and soul our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Be able to share the gospel with those who might be in need. And let me encourage you, as Luther does here, do not think only of yourself. This is often how we can fall into anxiety and fear when we get too inwardly focused. Go to the Lord in prayer, but also think of your neighbor. Do you know people who may not be able to get out, who might not be able to have all they need? Call them up. Can you drop something off at their door? Do they have everything they need? Remember, the Lord Jesus summarizes the law as loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving the neighbor as yourself. Is there a way that you can help someone around you? They're going through the same situations that you are. Can we show the love of Jesus Christ to those who might be in need? And of course, let this be a reminder for prayer, prayer, and more prayer. If you feel yourself getting anxious, if you feel yourself getting worried, let that be the siren call to go to your knees in prayer. To say, Lord, take away this fear. Here is this thing that I am worried about. I give it to you. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about my friends. I'm worried about myself. Whatever it might be, take it to the Lord in prayer. Any rise in your worry and anxiety ought to serve as a call to prayer. Do you feel unsafe and worried? Then take it to the Lord in prayer. Because He is our very present help in trouble. And He is at hand. And He hears you. And the Lord our God is faithful to answer our prayers. Verse 32 of Romans 8 that we often read after we take the Lord's Supper. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? This is the God whom you serve. The Lord Jesus laid down His life for you. Go to Him in prayer. He who didn't spare His own Son because of His great love for you hears those prayers. Let us go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You that You are our very present help in trouble. We thank You that You are our refuge and our strength. We thank You that You are at hand, and we thank You that nothing can separate us from Your love. Oh, gracious Father in heaven, we thank You for Your providential control. And we rest in it. And we trust in Your love, trust in Your wisdom, and trust in Your goodness. Help us be at peace. And help us share that peace of Jesus Christ with those who need it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.